Chapter 11. They reached the saddleback that night, breaking the spine of the intervening Xenos army during the long advance. As the sun fell again, they set up camp on the higher ground, bringing north all that could be pulled intact from the ridge. They left behind a landscape of thoroughbred destruction, twisted carcasses of vehicles smouldering under the fading light, gouged earthworks, row upon row of rotting bodies. Many long hours of labour lay ahead. The auxiliary's troops marched up the flanks of the redoubt in weary lines, ready for the backbreaking work of constructing defence emplacements. Kill teams were assembled to strike out back across the battlefields, hunting down the last knots of resistance. The orcs could not merely be defeated. They had to be exterminated, the bodies incinerated and all trace of contaminated weaponry destroyed. Thunderhawks hovered over the darkening terrain with banks of neon-bright searchlights, sweeping the burning land like carrion crows. Hasik stalked through the palls of ash, his guandao black with blood. His armour had taken more damage and now looked half-destroyed, a collection of cracked ceramite plates hanging from his frame. He was one of the last to make it to the sanctuary of the higher ground, having remained where the fighting was thickest for longest. Only when the victory was secure did he at last turn away from what had become rank slaughter. Rior waited for him, flanked by his retinue of warriors. They were as battle-worn as he, and the Lunar Wolves' captain's helm had been lost somewhere in the fighting, exposing his pale-skinned face. Hasik saluted wearily.
"What did you do out there?" Rior asked.
His tone was measured, but something infected it. Irritation, perhaps? Hasik laughed, a hack that coughed up speckles of blood onto his vox grill.
"Killed the witches," he said. "What we needed? How? Our Stormseers. Bloody savages!"
Hasik laughed again.
"You should have told me what you planned."
Hasik reached up, unscrewed his gorget seal and lifted his battered helm. His revealed face was crisscrossed with bloody weals from the impacts that his damaged armour had only partially blunted.
"You share in the honour of this night, Captain," Hasik said earnestly. "We will make the muster at the Bloodmoor, and I shall tell the Khan of your deeds, who will tell your Primarch. But even Borghal did not know if his art would work in this. If it had not, you would not have been drawn into shame. Only us."
Rior didn't look placated.
"Always shame with you. Oaths and shame. You people are a strange breed. But you see the power of weather magic now. You tell your librarian of this?"
Rior drew closer.
"Once unlocked, these things cannot be put back. You jest, but there are better ways. We'd still be fighting now out there. More dead before the end. Maybe we never make it at all. You should have told me. Would you have agreed?"
Rior held his gaze for a while longer. His dark eyes glittered under the lines of fatigue. All of them had been fighting for a very long time. Eventually he sighed and gestured for his retinue to move off.
"A strange breed," he muttered,
turning and making for where the defence towers were being hoisted into position.
"You fought well,"
called Hasik after him emphatically.
"These things will be known."
Rior turned and a half-smile, almost exasperated, flickered over his hard features.
"Do not shout too hard about your magicians. Not all ears are as friendly as mine."
Then he was gone, marching off into the gathering murk to order what remained of his forces. Hasik turned to Goghal, as ever standing by his side.
"He had a point," Goghal observed. "That was a risk."
"So it was."
Hasik didn't look sorry.
"One we were bred to make. The Khagan would have done the same."
"They say he's closing on the Bloodmoor now."
Then we had better lose no more time. I want us there in 3 days.
Goghal smiled.
Is that achievable, Noyan Khan?
It is essential, said Hasek,
wiping the blood from his brow and turning away from the dying sunset.
He gave me an order. I intend to keep it.
Immediate onward movement from the saddleback was impossible. Even an army as self-contained and resilient as the Legiones Astartes needed time to recover after a major engagement. Armor had to be replaced and repaired. Vehicles had to be overhauled, ammo replenished, and supplies restored. Airdrops from cleared areas in the far south were the main route for this. Atmospheric transporters were sent lurching over the crystal fields, escorted by wings of protective fighters. Even passing over regions nominally scoured of Xenos was a dangerous business. Orc gangs remained in the wilds, fragments of the once mighty war hordes armed with rocket launchers and erratic missile batteries. So the Imperial High Command was wary of sending more convoys than it had to. Not until the last of the greenskin remnants, persisting between the old trench lines and the saddleback, had been annihilated, did the request for immediate resupply receive its answer, and the convoys of cumbersome lifters steadily take off and pull north. The seized redoubt itself had been heavily fortified by the time the first of them arrived, and fully laden transports touched down on hastily levelled drop sites. Both the Auxilia's engineering corps and the Legion's own tech marines were adept at raising battlefield structures in extremely rapid timeframes. Less than 12 hours after the Legion's front ranks had gained the saddleback, the summit of the peak was crowned with over 20 fixed air defence towers, more than a kilometre of razor wire and staggered bluffs of tank defences. Earthworks ringed the high places, thrown up quickly by Auxilia mechanised teams and subsequently reinforced by dug-in squads of defenders. During the long night, patrol squads roved back across the conquered terrain, trawling for the living wounded, as well as hunting for any residual enemy presence. The most assiduous of these were the apothecaries of the two legions, who passed through the still hot earth, searching for space marine fallen in order to extract priceless progenoid glands and mark the bodies and their armour for honourable recovery. Dawn illuminated a drear landscape of fractured crystal and slowly rotting corpses. Garbangar's sun was hot, accelerating the decay of the thousands of broken bodies, human and Xenos alike. Once the Legion squad captains had given the all-clear, incinerator teams from Marshal Motta's reserve descended to the plain level, their flamethrower-armed dozers grimly shoveling up the slain for the pyres to come. It took until mid-morning before Borghal was able to rise from his Medicaid slab and survey the scene. His entire body hummed with pain, mostly concentrated behind his eyes and in the palms of his hands. Usage of the arcane path left its wounds, all the more acute at the points where ether matter left the body. The fighting following Hasek's relief of the Stormseer's position had still been vicious. The orcs may have lost their overarching psychic aegis, but they were still creatures of savage instincts, still capable of immense feats of physical strength and born without conventional notions of fear. Many legionaries had died in the combat that followed, and the cadre of Stormseers under Borghal's command had shrunk down to 4. Despite that, the gamble had been worth taking. A flaw had been detected in the Xenos' use of psychic power, one that could be exploited again in coming battles. The orcs operated, it seemed, entirely blind to the subtleties of the Hidden Realm, summoning up breathtaking power when gathered in vast numbers, but not displaying any profound understanding of what they were doing. It was as if they were attuned to the energies beyond the veil in a purely instinctual sense, tapping into it like an animal might, either ignorant or uncaring of the deeper metaphysics at play. Perhaps there was indeed a kind of strength in that. All Zadyan Aga knew of the temptations of the other place, the urge to keep delving deeper, uncovering more with each encounter, until it became an addiction that risked addling your mind. No greenskin would have been prone to that. That was something to reflect on, given the widely held view that these Xenos were not an entirely natural product of galactic evolution. No doubt Yasugai would have had something to say about it, had he been there. But no one knew where he was, save the Khan himself.
Stormseer!
Borghal looked up, placing a hand on the nearest crystal outcrop to steady himself. The Lunar Wolves librarian, Jereth, walked towards him, emerging through the crowds of the 5th Legion Apothecarian staff as they hurried from one medi-station to the next. He seemed to have been outfitted with replacement pauldrons, but otherwise his armour displayed the ubiquitous marks of combat. His exposed face was lean, his hair long and dark. Like all the Chthonians, he displayed a mix of aspects, a certain raw brutality combined with an undeniable dignity of poise. They were born warriors, the Lunar Wolves, but of a markedly different, less straightforward heritage than the sons of Chogoris.
Librarian,
Borghal said in greeting, working to keep the exhaustion from showing in his voice. Jereth stood before him.
That was a powerful thing you did. I've never seen the like. We should talk more of it, you and I, when you are recovered.
I did not think you approved.
I neither approve nor disapprove. I study. We're all learning.
Borghal looked at him carefully, then nodded slowly.
You have the gift, then?
He said. Jereth didn't answer at once. He walked past Borghal to the edge of the crystal outcrop, where the view of the battlefield was more complete. Another airdrop was coming in, its engines trailing long lines of grey.
There's plenty I don't understand about how this crusade is constructed,
Jereth said.
I don't understand why so much has been left unsaid that should have been made plain.
Maybe you don't care about such things. Your people do not seem to be the anxious kind.
Do not be sure of that,
Borghal said, remaining where he was.
There have been disagreements.
I fought once on Morpheda, Jereth said.
Heard of it?
Borghal shook his head. A human world. A lost human world. They failed to heed the call to join the Imperium, and so it was forced compliance.
Messy. I do not like killing our own kind. But we were not alone, and in that there were some interesting experiences. We fought alongside the Thousand Sons of Prospero, although their Primarch did not lead them. Have you ever served with the Thousand Sons?
No.
Oh, fascinating legion. There was a rumour that they use mind weapons like other legions use bolters. I heard stories. A captain, or whatever rank it was, dissolving an entire wall with his outstretched fist. I heard reports of others levitating in order to reach vantages, or creating translucent shields to ward their battle brothers as they advanced. Such things. In this time, such things.
I have heard similar stories.
No doubt, replied Jereth. But then I myself saw something else, and it stayed with me for a long time. I saw one of them, right in the thick of the fighting, and he was slaying like I have never seen, before or since. Even my troops were captivated by it. But then something went wrong. He stopped. We heard screaming, and I will swear to you, it was not like any human scream I've ever heard. I saw his hands reach up to his helm, and then his own kind took him up, hiding him from view. And they withdrew from the engagement and pulled back to their own support positions.
Borghal listened warily. There was something in Jareth's tone that gave away a deep and long-nourished antipathy.
After the fighting, I raised the matter with my captain. Rior took it up with the 15th Legion Command. We made our feelings clear. You can understand why. We were jointly assaulting a position, and for our allies to withdraw, without reason or warning, risked the success of the entire operation. We heard nothing. We were given no explanation. The next day, the Thousand Sons left. It was not a large detachment, but the loss of it was hard to make up at short notice. It led to significant bad feeling.
which I understand went all the way to the Primarchs. Even now it is talked of.
I imagine so.
Jareth turned back to face Borghal. What do you make of it?
I know not. I was not there.
He was a sorcerer, they said. Something happened.
Well, any warrior may be lost in combat.
Jareth smiled thinly. If one of my warriors dies, we do not withdraw the entire squad. You would not do it either. Unless, that is, you had something to conceal from your allies.
I was not there, Borghal said again.
No, but you were here. Jareth lost his smile. Your commander did a dangerous thing. Rior has equable humours, but does not enjoy being deceived. These things do seem to go together. Mind weapons and deception. Borghal began to lose patience.
Say what you came to say.
Jareth spread his hands.
I only make the comparison. You cannot expect trust to be maintained like this.
Borghal's eyes narrowed.
It was done to hasten victory. We were already too slow.
Ugh, this obsession again.
We did nothing different to what we had been doing for months, only its direction was changed. There is no ban in the legions on the use of these weapons.
Yet. Borghal stopped dead. I jest, Jareth went on, smiling briefly again. But I mean what I say about clarity. These things should be made plainer.
It is plain to us.
Borghal pushed clear of the crystal column, standing unsteadily. Is it? Or do you just ignore them, hoping wiser souls will do the work of looking into it for you? Do you hope that your example alone will somehow make you less hated? Borghal's heart rate picked up a fraction, the first and faintest preparation for battle. He felt his fist unconsciously and habitually reach for his staff, even though it had been destroyed, and he would have to wait a long time for a newly fashioned one. Then Jareth turned away.
Not the best time, perhaps. You're wounded. Like I say, when you're recovered, we should talk more.
Borghal took a step towards him, feeling his blood pump strongly around his body. He was angry now, and that accelerated the healing process.
There is nothing to talk about, he said, voice low. If you turn your back on a weapon, do not be surprised if it cuts you. I care not about Prospero's witches. I care not about your studies. I care what the Khagan orders. If he tells us to stop, we stop. If he tells us to continue, we continue. That is all.
And the Imperium?
Asked Jareth. What of that? Borghal looked him direct in the eye.
As you say, neither approve nor disapprove.
Jareth laughed, seemingly with genuine amusement.
Oh, very good. Your Gothic's getting better.
Out on the plains, the first pyres of the slain lit up with gouts of promethium, and acrid palls began to spread over what had once been pristine crystal fields. The air shimmered even further into a deep red glow.
Be careful, though, Jareth said. Much as you might wish to be, you are not alone.
You'll never be alone again. There is more to this than the Lord of the Plains. The smoke rolled upwards, boiling from the heaps of flesh like sacrificial offerings. Borghal smelled the stench, but did not look at its source. He remembered the clean air of Guangzhou and the blue skies that stretched into eternity, and the clean kills and the laughter.
For you, maybe, he said. For us, there will never be anything else.